at the end of the
okay.
page.
Okay, so we're going to start from... We have this machloket Rav and Shmuel. Oh, right, we started right before the question of Rav and Shmuel. We have this machloket Rav and Shmuel about the psukim. Remember, we're short. We don't have 9 psukim, we only have 8, and we have to split it into 3, so how do we do it? Rav says we... if I remember right, Rav says dole. We repeat a pasuk. So we read Aleph Bet Gimel, and then we read Gimel Dalet He. And Shmuel says we split a pasuk in half. So now they're going to bring a braita that contradicts both of those opinions. Meitive. Parsha shel shisha psukim koreinu otah b'shnayim. V'shel chamisha b'yachid. V'im harishon kore shlosha, hasheni kore shnayim miparsha zo, v'echa miparsha acheret. If you have a parsha of 6 psukim, you read it 2 people. If you have chamisha, then one person reads all 5 psukim, you don't split it up, because then you'll have 3 and 2. But they say, im harishon kore gimel, but if the first one read 3, the second one reads 2, and then he reads the third from the next parsha. Okay, so in other words, if you have not enough, you just read the next parsha, which we don't do in our situation, because in our situation, we specifically want to read about Briat HaOlam, we want to read about Maaseh, you know, the first day and the second day. We don't have an extra pasuk. But here they're saying, you move to the next parsha and read 1 pasuk. V'yeshomrim shlosha. Some people say, if you're already going to start the next parsha, let's say you have 5 pasukim, you want to add a 6th, you read 3 psukim of the next section, okay? And then, what do they say? L'pisha'ein matchilim parsha v'pachob v'shlosha psukim. You're not, if you're going to already start a parsha, you can't just read 1 pasuk of a parsha. That's like not reading anything. So if you have your 2 that were left over from the first parsha, you read those, then you go to the next parsha and you have to read the next 3. Because 3 is a unit and you can't just read 1 pasuk. It's almost like you're just starting something and you're not stopping. So now what's the problem with this braita? Lemanda amar doleg lidlig. Ulamanda amar lidlog. Ulamanda amar posek livso. The person who says that you should split the pasuk in half, I'm sorry, the person who says lidlog, that you should, doleg, that you should repeat the second pasuk, right, the 1 pasuk twice. Lidlog, you should do that here then, right? That's what they should have suggested. Instead of jumping to the next parsha, you should have just said, repeat one of the psukim twice. And Laman Damar Posek, you should cut the pasuk in half. You should have done that here, Lipsok. You should have done it in this case. So what are the answer? Shane Hatam Di'id Le Ravcha. In the case of the Braita, they were able to go on. It was just a regular day of reading, and it didn't matter if they read a little more, a little less. You know, so they basically just added some more, and that was an easier solution. But in our case, we don't have that option, and therefore Rav and Shmuel have to come up with alternatives. So if we could have read on, that would have been the perfect alternative, and then we wouldn't either repeat or skip or split the pasuk. But in this case, where they had the option, they did that. Parsha Gdola Korinot HaBashnayim. Okay, here we have a... Before I even read this sentence, because it's going to be hard to read this without telling you what the problem is. The big question here, and I put it on the sheet for today. Can I get my sheets here? Is where do you put the period in this sentence? Okay, I'll read it the way we read it when we read the Mishnah. Parsha Gdola Korinot HaBashnayim. Okay, if you have the longer parshio, 2 people read them. B'shacharit u'bimusaf u'bimincha Korinot HaPihem. Remember the first... In Shacharit and Musaf, we learn that you read it out loud together in front of everybody, like you read the Torah and with Aliyot. But in Mincha and Ne'ilah, I thought it was Ne'ilah also or just Mincha? No, I thought the Mishnah said also Ne'ilah. One second. But maybe not. No, just Mincha. Okay. It says, Nichnesim v'korino pihem kikorino shema. Do you remember that? They would then gather in the Batei Knesiot in Mincha time, and they would read it again, but they would read it bal peh, the way you read Shema. Meaning that they wouldn't do a public reading with Aliyot, they would just recite it like you recite Shema. Shema is a part of the Torah, and you can read it without Ta'amim and without a Sefer Torah and without a Ma'amad Siburi. And we're going to see in a minute what exactly, how exactly they did this korino pihem. But first the Gemara asks like this. How do you split up this pasuk? Is it b'shacharit u'b'musaf korino ta b'sefer, right, with the Sefer Torah, u'b'mincha korino ta alpeh k'korino t'shma, the way I read it, o dil mahachi katane, b'shacharit korino ta b'sefer, u'b'musaf u'b'mincha korino ta alpeh k'korino t'shma. Okay, if you read that pasuk, listen, we go back to the beginning. Parsha gdola korino ta b'shnayim b'shacharit, period. ubimusaf ubimincha korin al pihem. Okay, so ubimusaf, does that go with shacharit ubimusaf, or does it go ubimusaf ubimincha korin al pihem? So they don't know. So then they say, let's find, we have another source that can show us which one it is. Tashma, let's learn from here. Titania, it says in a braita, b'shacharit ubimusaf nechnesim lebet hakneset b'korin k'derech shakorin kol hashana. Okay, and here you have it. Shacharit is with musaf. They would go into the Batei Knesiot, and they would read all the way they read all year long, like a Ma'amad Tziburi of Kriyat HaTorah. Ubi Mincha Yachid Koreo Ta'al Peh. Okay, in the Mincha time, and here they even add, the individual reads it Ba'al Peh. Okay, he reads it on his own. Amar Rabbi Yossi, B'chi Yachid Yachol Likrot Divrei Torah Al Peh B'Tzibur. What do you mean the Yachid reads it Ba'al Peh? There's no, it sounds like the Yachid reads it b'ma'amad tziburi ba'al peh, right? It almost sounds like the Yachid gets up and recites this recitation without the Torah in public. So they say it doesn't make any sense. Ela, that's not the way it is. Kulam nechnesim b'korin otal peh k'korin et shma. It means that everybody gets together and says it quietly. In other words, it's more of an individual prayer, the same way we all say Kriyat Shema, right? Whereas Kriyat HaTorah, one person reads. So that's what they did here. Okay, so you basically, in the morning and in Musaf, you read the Parsha out loud in a Ma'amad Tziburi of Kriyat HaTorah. And at Mincha time, everybody got together and read it by themselves. Okay, it's unclear actually whether they, Nichnasim means they got together in the same place and everyone said it individually, or maybe just everybody went into, you know, their own space and said it. But probably they kind of, you know, went to a shul, a Beit Knesset got together, but everybody said it by themselves. Kol yom sheyesh bo halel, ein bo ma'amad. Okay, if you remember from the Mishnah, okay, I brought back all the charts that we did on the Mishnah here. Okay, any day where there is halel, okay, Rabbi Akiva said there's no ma'amad in shacharit, right? And there was no machloket about that. On the day you do halel, there's no ma'amad in shacharit. Now, there's different opinions about what does that mean, there's no ma'amad in shacharit. Does that mean we don't read the Bereshit section, we don't do the Kriyat HaTorah? Or does it mean we don't do the special tefillot? Okay? Or does it mean that we don't get together at all? The ma'amadot don't even get together, right? In other words, the ma'amadot, what did they do? They got together. They did three things. They got gathered together. It's really two. They gathered together to daven and to read the Torah. So now the question is, when it says there's no ma'amad, does it mean they didn't gather together at all to do anything? Or does it mean they gathered together to daven, but not to do, they didn't read the Torah? Or does it mean they gathered together to read the Torah, but they didn't daven? In other words, did they remove just one thing, or did they remove everything entirely? So there's different opinions about it. We don't have an answer. So now, the next section is Korban Musaf. If you remember, there was a machloka between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai, who said that Rabbi Yeshua said differently, and then Rabbi Akiva agreed with Rabbi Yeshua. So let's just follow Rabbi Yeshua's opinion at this point. If there's a Korban Musaf, there's no mincha, right? There's no ma'amad in mincha time. And if there's Korban Eitzim, there's no ma'amad in ne'ila. Okay, when we learned the Mishnah, we didn't really explain why this is, and today we're going to get into why this is. Okay, so the first question is, now, we're not, even though the Gemara quoted here the words of the Mishnah, Kol Yom Sheyesh Bo Halel, that's not our issue. Right now, we're jumping to the second part of the Korban Musaf and the Korban Eitzim. There's Machloket Rashi and Tosfot how to understand this question. So, first we'll read it according to Rashi. Rashi says that we're not talking about Halel, we're not talking about Korban Musaf, we're talking about Korban Eitzim only. Okay? And what does he say? The Gemara asks, Ma Hefresh Ben Zeh Lezeh. Why is Korban Eitzim aim b'ne'ila, but yesh, when you would have the ma'amad in mincha? Okay? Why? Look at Rashi. Ma'ishna de Korban Eitzim dache ma'amad ne'ila, u'ma'amad de mincha lo dache. Okay? Why? It seems arbitrary, right? Why is the Korban Eitzim going to be doche ne'ila and it's not going to be doche mincha? Which means that on a day that this Korban Eitzim, you have the ma'amad in shacharit, in musaf, in mincha, but you don't have it in Ila. So they're basically saying, what's the difference between Mincha and Ila? Okay, obviously it doesn't affect Shacharit and Musaf because the Korban Eitzim was done later in the day. But if it's going to be done later in the day, why would you choose to be Docha and Ila and not Musaf? So the answer given here is Halalu Divrei Torah v'Halalu Divrei Sofrim. Korban Eitzim is Drabanan. There's no mitzvah d'oraita to make a chag on the Korban Eitzim. And there's also no chiyuv midoraita to daven ne'ila. Now there's also right? There's really not a chiyuv to daven mincha either, but you could say at least mincha is part of the three tefillot, and it's not exactly d'oraita, because nobody really says that it's d'oraita to daven three tefillot a day, but it's based on the tefillot that are, right? If you say the tefillot, according to the Rambam anyway, or d'oraita, to daven once a day, right? So the best source they say is, it came from Yitzchak. Now, that's not exactly d'oraita, right? When Yitzchak went out, l'suach basadeh, it certainly doesn't mean there's a chiyuv d'oraita to daven mincha. But mincha at least has basis in the text, right? It has basis in the Torah from Yitzchak. So it's not like a real d'oraita, but it has basis in the Torah, and therefore, if you're going to push off something, right, you're going to push off d'rabbanan is going to push off a d'rabbanan, okay? So the korban eitzim is going to push off ne'ila. Tosfot has a different question. Tosfot says, mahefresh ben zeh lezeh, what's the difference between korban musaf and korban eitzim? Why is korban musaf? Look again at your chart. Korban musaf, when there's korban musaf, you're dochen mincha, right? There's no ma'amad in mincha. And when there's korban eitzim, there's no ne'ila. So why is that? Okay? And then the answer given is halal divrei Torah v'halal divrei sofrim. Now it works very nicely. Musaf is midoraita. So it pushes off mincha, which is midoraita. And korban eitzim is midorabanan, so it pushes off ne'ila, which is midorabanan. Okay? They each match up. So, two different ways to read the question and the answer, and they both work in with the words of the Gemara here. Zman atzei kohanim va'am. Tanu rabbanan. Lama hu tzrucha lomar zman atzei kohanim va'am? Okay, why did they need to say that? Now, really what they're saying is not why did they need to say it, but what does this mean? Now, we already know this because we learned this when we did the Mishnah, but they're going to explain to us what is this zman atzei kohanim va'am, because it didn't explain it in the Mishnah. Amru kishalu b'nei ha'gola lo matzu etzim balishka. Okay, when they came up from the Galut, they didn't have etzim. Okay, they had no trees. They didn't know what to do. Famdu elu v'hitnadvu mishalahem. And these families said, oh, here, we're bringing etzim. We have etzim. V'kach itnu nevi'im shebenehem. Okay, and then the nevi'im shebenehem. Now, there were no nevi'im because after, right, the Galut, right, nevu'ah was already ended. But I guess it's probably Ezra and Nehemiah. Shafilu lishka malaya etzim yihiyu ele mitnadvim mishelahem. Shenemar v'agorolot yipanu al korban etzim. Hakohanim v'alevi'im v'am la'vi lebet Eloheinu lebet avotenu le'itim mizumanim shana b'shana leva'erom mizbach Hashem Elokeinu k'katuv b'torah. Okay, and this is a pasuk from Nehemiah that they made a goral. These were the families that were going to always be bringing shana b'shana the etzim to be meva'er. Okay, so they basically said, because they did it this first time, now we're going to set it that these are the people that are bringing, even if we don't need them. Okay? V'imahem kohanim v'levi'im v'chomi. Okay, now we're going to this line. If you look, I brought it on the sheet again. Okay, we had this manatze kohanim v'am tisha. They did. V'cha v'nisam v'esrim v'tamud, right? Each of the families. And then, if you remember, on the chamisha asar ba'av, it was the b'nei zeitu ben Yehuda. V'imahem kohanim v'levi'im v'chomi sh'ta'av v'shifto. Which we said we don't really know what they mean. So now they're going to give an explanation for who they were. Tana Rabbanan. So now we tell a story about them. Amru, okay, the Malchut made a gzera that we're not allowed to bring the etzim to burn on the Mizbeh, and we're not allowed to bring bikurim. Just like Yeravam ben Nevat, when he didn't want, if you remember, Yeravam ben Nevat came in when the Malchut split the kingdoms, and he wanted to make his own Beit HaMikdash, and he made it on a separate month, right? He made a new holiday instead of Tishrei. They did it in Cheshvan. And he stopped people along the way from getting to Yerushalayim. I don't think it says that in the text, that he stopped people. But I could be wrong. I don't remember that it says in the text, but I assume it's a Masoret that he put people up, you know, he had people on the way stopping people. Maybe it says in the Psukim, I don't remember. So they also now, whatever Machut was making this Gezerah, what did they say? We're going to put people to stop people. We're going to stop them on the way and check them. Make sure that they're not bringing Eitzim and Bikui. Ma'asik sherim v'yirei chet sheboto ador, heviu salei bikurim v'chipum b'kciot, unitalum, unitalum. Okay, they brought salei bikurim, but they covered them with kciot. What are kciot? They're pressed figs. We've seen this before. They would make these cakes with pressed figs, and underneath them, Can you imagine these like sticky fig cakes, right? No one's going to start checking underneath them. Underneath them, they hid the bikurim. If you remember, we learned about this, by the way, that they would have, we talked about this, I think, in the connection of truma, like if something mixes in or something, and there were these like big, tall cakes. They would do like, very high. So imagine, right? You could stick stuff inside them, surrounded with figs all over. Then they took the eli al kitfehem. That's a certain utensil that they used to cut the ktsiot. Okay, it was a utensil they used for cutting. V'kevan shigiyu etzol prusdeot. Amru lahem lehechan atem ochim. Omrim lahem lasot shnei igulei deveila b'machteshet shelefanenu. We're going, in the place we're going to, there's a machteshet, which is it was a utensil that they used for cutting.
It's a mortar and a pestle.
Right. Right.
So I was a pharmacist to use the
okay.
And so it's a tool used for pressing.
Okay. Got
that's
it.
What it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought that it's somehow used for cutting, though.
The pestle is used for pressing.
Right. But I thought in this context that they were actually cutting, but maybe, I guess that's it.
That's what they translated here.
Okay. Pestle, so. So great. So now. Right, using the machteshet lefanenu uba elish al tefenu. In other words, they were bringing the small part of the mortar and pestle, and the big part was in the place they were going to, and that's why they said, we don't have the other part, we have to go there to get the machteshet. And there, and that's why we have this eli, and we're going to go press it there. Kevan she'avru mehem, as soon as they passed these guys, itrum b'salim v'hebiyum l'Yerushalayim. Okay, then they decorated themselves with the salim, and they brought them to Yerushalayim. Tana, and there's another brayta that talks about this. If you notice, this didn't mention at all, except for in the beginning, that they weren't allowed to bring the etzim l'maracha. But now we're going to see also how they snuck in the etzim. It's going to be a little more tricky than the wood isn't as easy to carry like this and hide. Tana, hein hein b'nei salmai hanitofati. Okay, now some people say the b'nei salmai hanitofati were also called the gonvei eli u'b'nei kotzei ktziot. Okay, that they were also the same people who did this. You can see now why gonvei eli v'kotzei ktziot, right? They were gonvei, to ganav is to steal, but it's also like to sneak in, right? They snuck in the eli and the kotzei ktziot, the fig cakes. So now the b'nei salmai hanitofati, either they're somebody else or they're the same people. Tana Rabbanan, mahem b'nei salmai hanitofati. So the braita here says these were the b'nei salmai hanitofati. Okay, they were the same. So now the brayta brings, who were they? Mahim b'nei salmai hanitofati. Amru pamacha gazral machu k'zera al Yisrael shelo yaviyu etzim lemaracha. Voshivu pruzda'ot al hadrachim k'derech shoshiv yirabam b'nevad al hadrachim shelo yalu Yisrael l'rega. Okay, the same thing. Just like, right, they wouldn't allow them to bring the etzim, and they put these people up, the shomrim, just like Yirabam. Ma asu yirechet sheboto ador. What did they do? Heviyu gizrehen vasu sulamot. Okay, they took their, I assume it's like their axes, yeah? Is that what Gizirehem, how do they translate it there? And they...
Logs.
Oh, their logs? Ah, okay. They took their logs, sorry. They took their logs, I was thinking of Lashon Ligzor to cut. Okay. They took their logs, Vasu Sulamot, and they built ladders out of them. V'hinichu al kitvehem, v'alchu lahem. Kevan shigiyu etzlam, amru lahem, le'echan atamochim. Amru lahem, l'havi gozalot v'shavach shelefanenu v'sulamot shal k'tefeinu. We're carrying these ladders so we can get to the bird trees over there. We need to get the birds. Kevan shavru mehem pirkum. They took apart the ladders. V'heviyum v'halum l'Yerushalayim. V'alehem v'al chayotze v'hem u'omer zecher tzadik l'vracha. V'al yirabam b'nevav v'chaverav ne'emar v'shem r'sha'im yirkav. This we have, by the way, in the Mishnah in Yoma. About the people, if you recall, we learned about there were some people who were good and there were some people who were bad. There were the people who worked in the Mikdash, but they kept their secrets. Remember those people who wouldn't give away how to make the Ma'ala Ashan, and they were Lignai, and they were Latov, and Elu Ne'mar Zecher Tzadik Lebrachav, Elu Ne'mar B'Shem Shem Yerkav, the same pasuk. Okay, so now they compare these people. It's interesting. All of a sudden, Yerubim ben Nevat plays such an important role here, right? I'm not so sure why he becomes a central character here, even though he had nothing to do with the story, right? But I guess the point is that the enemies were trying to prevent people from going to the Beit HaMikdash and do things the way they wanted, and just as Yerubim ben Nevat. Okay? Be'esrim bo b'nei pachat Moab ben Yehuda. Now we're going to have a whole diyun about some of the people here, who they were. Okay, so if you notice on the chart, I took the chart we had from before, but I enlarged the people that we're going to relate to right now. Okay, there's b'nei Devi ben Yehuda were the second ones on the list. Number 7 and 8 are the B'nai Pachat Moab ben Yudah and the B'nai Adin ben Yudah. We're going to see who those people are, and there's going to be a bit of a machloket, and some of them are going to claim that they're the same people that we saw before. Okay? So let's see. Tana, B'nai Pachat Moab ben Yudah, Hein B'nai David ben Yudah, Devrei Rabbi Meir. Pachat Moab, what's Pachat Moab? Pachat is the leader. Moab means he came from Moab, and who came from Moab? David HaMelech. Right? Ruth HaMoaviyah. So what do they say? That's B'nai David. In which case, according to that, on the Esrim Bo, right, of Av, and on the Esrim B'Tammuz, were both the B'nai David. It's this, right? They went twice, the B'nai David. Okay? They're just called something different. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no, there's somebody else. Hein B'nai Yoav ben Tzruya. Yoav ben Tzruya was related to David on his mother's side. Okay? So he also came from Moab. So it's him. Because who's Pachat? Pachat is perfect for Yoav. Because Pachat is really like the leader, right? The military leader. And he was the military leader, right? Yoav ben Tzruya. So it makes sense. So they say he's Yoav, and then you don't have the problem. It's the same people. Be'esrim be'elu b'nei Adin ben Yehuda. Tana Rabbanan. B'nei Adin ben Yehuda. Hein b'nei David ben Yehuda. Dever Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yehuda. Before it was Rabbi Meir. Now we have Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says b'nei Adin was also David HaMelech. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hein B'nei Yoav ben Tzruya. Rabbi Yossi here says, no, those are B'nei Yoav ben Tzruya. Okay, they're not, B'nei Adin is not, now who's Adin? Okay, if you look in Rashi for a minute, Rashi says, Lahachi kari le b'sefer Shmuel, and Shmuel bet perakav gimel, it lists like these giborim, and it says, Adino ha'etzni. Okay, so they say, why was it David? Shebesha'ah sheosek b'torah ma'aden atzmo ketolat, u'kishiyotze l'machama mitkashe ke'etz. He was able to shape himself, form himself. When he was learning Torah, he was one person. When he went out to war, he was a different person. Okay, and he could shape himself as needed. So that's why they think it was David. But in other words, it's listed in the Giborim of David. Either it's David himself, or it was Yoav who worked for David. Okay, both. Okay, in either case, you have either they were David, in which case, again, you have David appearing twice. Or it's Yoav ben Tzruya. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, what do you have? You have Yoav ben Tzruya bringing also. And it's interesting, two consecutive times. Okay, now the Gemara is going to say, all of these opinions that we just saw create a problem for our Mishnah. Why? Because if you notice, let's read, Be'echav b'tevet shavu b'nei paro shniyah. Do you remember that? On Echav b'tevet, after everybody goes, right, then on the last day, when we don't have anyone who hasn't gone yet, right? What happened? Parosh, B'nai Parosh, who was number 3, they go again. Okay? They bring a team a second time, which makes it sound like what? Like they were the only ones who brought a second time. And according to Rabbi Meir, B'nai David brought twice. According to Rabbi Huda, B'nai David brought twice. According to Rabbi Yossi, B'nai Yoav brought twice. So our Mishnah doesn't match any of those opinions. Because our Mishnah seems to imply that only B'nai Parosh went twice. And nobody else. Okay. Mani Matnitin, Lo Rabbi Meir, Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Rabbi Yossi. Okay? The Mishnah is not like either of these opinions. E Rabbi Meir, Litnei Shavu B'nai David Ben Yehuda, Shnia. It should say, right, the B'nai David went twice. E Rabbi Yehuda, Litnei Shavu B'nai David Ben Yehuda, Shnia. Rabbi Yossi, Litnei Shavu B'nai Yoav Ben Tzruya, Shnia. So all of them went twice, according to all these opinions. So the answer is, La'olam Rabbi Yossi, Utrei Tanai Alibad Rabbi Yossi. Ah. Our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yossi. But what do you have here? Rabbi Yossi said B'nai Yoav went twice, because they said they went on the Esrim of Av and the Esrim Be'elul. But what do we say? It's not that Rabbi Yossi said that B'nai Yoav went twice. It's that some people think Rabbi Yossi said that B'nai Pechat Moav was B'nai Yoav, and some people think B'nai Adin Ben Yehuda was B'nai Yoav. In other words, it's a machloket about what Rabbi Yossi actually said. Whether Yoav was the Pachat Moav, or Yoav was the Pachat Moav, or Yoav was the B'nai Adin. So it doesn't mean that Rabbi Yossi thought that Yoav went twice. It's just a machloket about which time Rabbi Yossi said, and therefore our Mishnah isn't like Rabbi Meir, it isn't like Rabbi Yehuda, because according to both of them, David went twice. So then it wouldn't have said only B'nai Parosh went twice, it would have said B'nai David also went twice. So it must be Rabbi Yossi, and it's just a machloket. We don't know whether Rabbi Yossi said that the B'nai Pachat was B'nai Yoav or the B'nai Adin. Okay. Be'echav b'tevet lo haya bo mamad. Now we're going to get into we're going to talk about this Echav b'tevet. Amar le'mar kashisha b'reid rav chisda le'rav ashi. Okay, so now, one second. Now we're going back to this issue about the first machloka we saw of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so let's just read for a minute again from the Mishnah, which I have on the sheet. Be'echa b'tevet lo haya bo ma'amad. It's in the last box here with the echa b'tevet. Shaya bo halel v'korban musaf v'korban itzim. Right, this day was unique. Why? It didn't have a ma'amad because it also had halel, it also had korban musaf, and it also had korban itzim, in which case you don't do the ma'amad in all of the tefillah, right? So now what do they say? Amalei markashisha bered Rav Chisila Rav Ashi. Markashisha asked Rav Ashi, Maishna halel de dachi dide, umaishna musaf de lo dachi dide. If you look back at our chart here, okay, the first chart on the page, halel is doche shacharit. Why is it doche shacharit? Because halel, you say halel in shacharit. Musaf is docha the ma'amad of mincha. Let's go according to Rabbi Yeshua, okay? Docha mincha. Why isn't it docha musaf? Right? Wouldn't it make sense? The korban musaf will be docha its own ma'amad, right? Just like halel is docha shacharit, where it appears in shacharit. So musaf should be docha the ma'amad of musaf. So Amar le Rav Ashi, hash delav dide dache. It's not, now that you're saying that it's, right, the fact that it's docha something that's not its own, meaning it's docha a different tefillah, mincha, dide lo kol shekein, it's obviously, when it says it's docha mincha, there's no ma'amad in mincha, it means there's no ma'amad in musaf and mincha. Obviously there's no ma'amad in musaf. And it's even though it says ein b'mincha, it means ein b'musaf ve'ein b'mincha. Okay, so we have to change our chart now, right? Because according to this, the korban musaf is docha the ma'amad, also in musaf and also in mincha. Okay, that's the assumption right now of Rav Ashi. So Amarle, so that now Markashisha says that wasn't my question. I still have a question. Hachi kamin alach lo litche ela dide. I don't understand. I agree with you. You're right. So it is docha its own. Okay. But why is it docha more than its own? If halal is docha only shacharit, why is musaf docha musaf and mincha? Okay, that's his question. You follow? It should be docha just its own ma'amad. So, Amar Lei, Ika Rabbi Yossi Dekai Kabatcha. You have a problem with this? Don't worry. It's like, often, right, something will be confusing in the Gemara. You'll say, I don't understand. I'll say, don't worry, there's an opinion that holds like you. Okay, in other words, you're not the only one who thought of this. Rabbi Yossi holds like you. How do we know? Now, Rabbi Yossi doesn't say this explicitly, but we're going to make assumption about Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Ditanya. Rabbi Yossi omer, kol yom sheyesh bo musaf, yesh bo ma'amad. On a day when there's musaf, there is a ma'amad. Okay, so now they're going to say, what does that mean? So, what's the issue here? What we want to prove is, where did my marker go? We want to prove, what do we have now? We have on a day where there's musaf, okay? When it comes to musaf, there's no ma'amad. And when it comes to mincha, there's no ma'amad, right? Now what do we want to show? We want to show an opinion, because what's bothering Markashisha? Why is there no ma'amad in mincha? There should be a ma'amad in mincha. So we want to show that Rabbi Yossi holds that there is a ma'amad in mincha. Okay, how are we going to show that? Rabbi Yossi says, "B'yom sheyesh bo musaf, yesh bo ma'amad." And we're going to now prove that he can't be referring to anything other than mincha. Okay, it must be he means mincha. Okay, there's a little, I'm going to already say here, the end of the Gemara, the end of his answer is complicated. It's not understood by everybody. The Gra changes the nusach. Okay, we're going to go with the nusach of the Gra because it's hard to read otherwise. You could read it otherwise, but we're going to go with that. To me, that seemed like the most obvious pshat. Okay, so now they're going to say, ma'amad demai, which ma'amad could this be? Ilema de shacharit ha-tanakama nami ha-chikamar. The Tanakama also assumes that there's a ma'amad in shacharit. So when Rabbi Yossi says, yesh bo ma'amad, he's obviously disagreeing with the Tanakama. And the Tanakhama, nobody had a havamina that musaf would be push off the ma'amad of shacharit. A day that there's musaf, you do shacharit, right? You do the ma'amad. And then in musaf, you don't do the ma'amad, and then maybe also mincha. Okay, we don't know later on. So that's going to be the question. So if it's shacharit, it can't possibly be that that's Rabbi Yossi's chiddush, because the Tanakhama already said that. And the ma'amad de musaf, it also can't be, because didei nami lo dachi. It's clearly doche, its own ma'amad. So, its own tefillah. Ela de mincha. Okay, and then according to the Gra, that aleph goes to the ground. We skip these words. Okay? And then it says, Shma Mina. Okay? It must be Mincha. Okay? And therefore, what do you learn from here? That according to Rabbi Yossi, Shma Mina, Didei Dachi, Delav Didei Lo Dachi. Okay? It must be we're talking about Mincha. When he says Yesh Bo Ma'aman, he means Yesh Bo Ma'aman Mincha, meaning that Rabbi Yossi disagrees with what we said, right, with Rabbi Akiva, or Ben Azai, right? Ben Azai, who said, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, there's no ma'aman in mincha. Rabbi Yossi says there is a ma'aman in mincha. So Rabbi Ashi just says, I understand you have this question. You didn't understand why Musaf is pushing off some other ma'amad. So you can feel better and know that somebody agrees with your opinion. Okay? And that's Rabbi Yossi. So then they say, okay, now we're moving on. If you remember, so we're going to stick with that line that we just quoted, but we're going to focus on a different aspect of it. What does it say? Echa b'Tevet was a unique day that didn't have any ma'amad because it had halel, it had korban musaf, and it had korban etzim. So now what are we going to say? There's another day that could have been just like that. Okay, what day is that? Okay, let's read. B'litnei nami b'echa b'nisan lo haya bo ma'amad. Why? B'pnei sheyesh bo halel because it's Rosh Chodesh. Vikorban Musaf, because it's Rosh Chodesh and they brought a Musaf. Vikorban Etzim, because somebody brought, right? Be'echa b'nisan, the B'nai Erech ben Yehuda. So it has all three. So what are we going to learn? This is a very important thing here. What's the difference between Halel on Echa b'nisan and Halel on Echa b'Tevet? Echa b'Tevet, why do we say Halel? Because of Hanukkah. Okay? So now we're going to learn. Amar Rava Zot Omeret Halel Adabresh Yarcha Lav De'oraita. Okay? Halal on Rosh Chodesh is different. It's not midoraita. Okay? We're going to learn now about the different halals. Yeah?
Hanukkah didn't exist.
I mean, Hanukkah
existed
in the time. Oh. It's not doraita. You're right. This is a big issue. Okay? Fine. Hold off on it for 1 minute. Okay? Exactly. So halal we say on a holiday when some miracle happens, right? So that issue is midoraita. Then they set which days we say it on. But the halal of Rosh Chodesh is in a different category than those. How do we know? What do we do different on halal and Rosh Chodesh? We don't do the whole halal. We skip stuff, right? Okay, we're going to see that there was even a machloket about whether you make a bracha on halal and Rosh Chodesh. Okay? We have this, I guess we did. Right, we it comes up in... No, I don't know. It says it's in Erechin. I don't know if we... I'm not sure. Okay. Anyway, Da'am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak Shmona Asar Yom Hashana Yachi Gomer Bahen Et Halel. There's 18 days a year where an individual finishes the Halel. It means he says the entire Halel. The Elohim. Shmona Yimei Achag, okay, Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret. Shmona Yimei Chanukah. V'yom Tov HaRishon Shal Pesach. V'yom Tov Shel Atzeret. Okay, only on the first day of Pesach. Why? Remember on this last day of Pesach? From day number two, we don't say all of Halal. There's two reasons given. One is because there's the same Korban every day, whereas on Sukkot, every day was a different Korban because of the Parei HaChag. It was a new Korban, and that gave us a new reason to say Halal. But really, on Pesach, because of the Korban, we don't. Or, we really don't want to say Halal, full Halal, on the seventh day of Pesach. Why? Because Maaseh Yadai Tovim Bayam Batem Omrim Shira, right? The Mitzrim died, and how could you get up and sing? You should be sad for what's going on, right? Very relevant nowadays. Everything going on. Right? You shouldn't be happy when your enemy is getting killed. And therefore, we can't say a full halal on the seventh day. But since the seventh day is a Yantif, we're going to say a full halal every day, even on Chol HaMoed, and then on Yantif not. So that what they said is, we're just going to say halal on the first day, and other days we're going to say partial halal. Ubagola, but in Galut, there's a few extra days, not just 18. There's a Shrim Be'echad. Be'elu hein tishat yimei chag. Okay, there's 9 days of chag, because there's an extra day. Ushmonat yimei chanukah. Ushnei yamim arishonim shal pesach. Ushnei yamim tovim shal atzeret. Okay, all three chagim end up with one extra day. Rav ikla leBavel, chazinu diskakare halel yabarei she'archa. Rav gets to Bavel and he sees people are saying halel on Rosh Chodesh. Savar la'afsikinu. He thought, I should stop them. You're not supposed to say halel. Kevan dechazi dekam edalge diluge amar shma mina min hagavoteim biyadehem. Okay, when he saw that they weren't saying all of halel, he realized they're doing this based on minhag and not based on halacha, right? They're doing something out of a minhag, and therefore he left them be. Tana, and there's a bright that says, Yachid lo yatchil, v'im itchil gomer. Here's another thing about Hal and Rosh Chodesh that is not relevant nowadays. But in those days, what did they say? The Yachid shouldn't say Hala on Rosh Chodesh. Okay? Only in the Tzibur. But if he already started, then you don't stop him. Okay, there's a big machloket here about whether you say a bracha on a minhag. Because really, now, what do you have? We say a bracha on Hala, but why do we say a bracha? It's only a minhag. Right? So there's all different opinions about how whether you do say a bracha, you don't say a bracha. Some people say you say a bracha because you learn it out from the minhag of Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Galiot. That's a minhag, and we say a bracha. Right? We say a bracha when we do second Seder. Those people who do it, we say a bracha on everything. So there you have, minhag avotenu biyadenu. You can make a bracha on a minhag. Other people say, no, it's more like Arava. The minhag of Arava wasn't in the Torah. There wasn't, right? And they didn't make a bracha on it. Okay, it was a minhag to do the Arava around the Mizbech. Well, they didn't make a bracha on it. So then there's the Brisker Rebbe makes a distinction between a minhag that's yesh me'ayin, like the Arava. It didn't exist, and they did something. As opposed to Yom Tov Sheni and Halal, where it's a minhag, yes, but it's based on a minhag that exists with a bracha. Understand? In other words, it's copying Halal that exists. So you do it like it, or Yom Tov Sheni, it's copying. So anyway, it's a very interesting sugya. Okay, let's go on a little bit more.
It would also undermine the authenticity of the second day.
If you didn't,
if
right.
You didn't.
There could be other factors, right? Yes, that is true. And then the question is, Halal, then where does that fall? Would it, you know, might not necessarily affect it. It might, because if you don't say Halal, you're just kind of saying Perkei Tehillim. It doesn't have as much more. Question is, why they say Halal anyway on why did they decide to make Halal on Rosh Chodesh? Where did the minhag come from? That's a separate question, right? Why would you do that? Okay. Chamishan Dvarim Meruot Avotenu B'Shiva Asar B'Tamuz. Nishtabru HaLuchot Minalam. Where do we know that we broke the Luchot? Okay, we don't have a lot of time, so I'm not going to go into everything tomorrow. Maybe I wanted to compare a little bit these five to those five. Okay, we'll get to it tomorrow. Anyway, Nishtabru HaLuchot Minalam. And Ditanya, B'Shisha LaChodesh Nitnu Aseret HaDibrot LiYisrael. Rabbi Yossi Omer B'Shiv Abba. We saw this machloket before, whether the Torah was given on Vav Sivan or on Zayin Sivan, right, depending on whether the Chodeshim were Mele'im or Chaserim. Manda Amar B'Shisha Nitnu B'Shiva Ala Moshe. Manda Amar B'Shiva Nitnu B'Shiva Ala Moshe. Okay, everybody agrees that Moshe went up on the 7th. It was just a question, did they get the Torah on the 6th and then he went up on the 7th? Or did they get the Torah on the 7th and then he went up right after, on the same day? Dichti Vayikra Moshe B'Yom HaShvi'i. It says it explicitly in the Pasuk. He called to Moshe on the 7th day. Uchti Vayavo Moshe B'Tocha Anan V'Yala Lahar V'Yi Moshe B'Har B'Im Yom V'Arbim Laila. Okay, now how do we get to the days? So if he went up on the 7th, how many days are left? Esrim ba'arba'ad de Sivan. Okay, there's 24 left in Sivan. B'shitzar plus another 16 de Tammuz. Malil hu arba'im. The 40 days ended. B'shivasar b'Tammuz. Okay, that's 40 days later. So b'shivasar b'Tammuz nachit. That's when he came down. Ata v'tavrinu l'luchot. Okay, he came and he broke the luchot. Okay, we're going to stop here, and we're going to start up next time with Batel HaTamid, and we'll get into some of these issues that relate to these five things. And I want to, you can already look if you want and compare the list. There's a little bit of a parallel between the five things that happened on Shavuot Sefer Tammuz and the five things in the Tisha B'Av. If you compare one to one, you can kind of line them up a little bit. And go somewhere with that.
Okay. Historically.
Yeah, you can look historically. You can think about it. I think there's different ways to line them up. We'll talk about it tomorrow.